What's good, everybody? It's your boy Hans.
And this is Tristan.
Welcome to the Hans and Tristan podcast. Thank you again for joining us. We appreciate it. So we're going to jump right into it. And unfortunately, it's going to be on a sad and just horrible note. So for those who have been under a rock and are unaware, we lost another legend, another icon, Earl Simmons, Darkman X, DMX. He passed away, succumbed to his heart attack, which put him in a vegetative state, and that increased to organ failure, and eventually they had to take him off of life support because it was just going downhill. I, like Tristan, am a huge DMX fan. He is literally one of the realest, I would say, like, realest, authentic rappers that we know of. We talk about it all the time. There are guys who are portraying a certain type of, you know, lifestyle, but DMX was not that. He was himself from start to finish.
You know, one thing I love, love, love about DMX is his vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
That man was so transparent about his childhood trauma, his substance abuse, his cheating, his, you know, everything he's ever experienced. He was so transparent. And he didn't make excuses for his behavior. He just like, you know what? Yes, I did this. I pray God forgive me. Da-da-da-da-da-da. You know what I'm saying? And he was always very transparent and vulnerable, right? And to me, like, that speaks volumes about how secure he was with who he was as a person. Mm-hmm. Because that's not easy to do, to be vulnerable in a mass, like, and he was like, I'm talking about in front of, like, his shows, epic. And to be vulnerable in front of hundreds of thousands of people. And then, like you said, you knowing that these interviews and stuff are going to be, you know, seen all over the world. And to still be like, look, if I cry, I cry. It is what it is. And not that nigga walking this earth going to try me after.
Yeah. He is the walking representation of to thine own self be true. Like, yeah. He continues to be himself no matter who's around, who's present. He holds it down. He's consistent. And so much so to a fault, to where he, by virtue of him being so authentic, would open himself up to, you know, those vultures, those people who would want to take advantage and try to persecute him. But yet and still, he stood tall. And I think that's what was so hard about his passing, because we knew of his struggles, right? We were aware of his obstacles and all that he's overcome. So in our head, we have been conditioned, because he's such a soldier, he's such a fighter, we're conditioned to believe that this is just good. Another obstacle. Yeah,
because I literally said that last show. I'm like, he'll be fine. It's Darkman X. Like,
right.
He'll be fine, because we're acclimated to him. Like, yo, I knock down, get knocked down, I get back up. And then guess what? I'm gonna write an ill-ass motherfucking song about it. Like, boom.
Right.
But that didn't happen this time. And I think that was such a, like, gut punch.
Yeah. No, it hit me hard. I was talking about it. I literally remember my first time hearing him. Like, there's not many artists where you can remember, or at least for me, there's not many artists where I can remember my first time listening to him and it being that vivid. Like, I was in school and I remember we had like a field trip, and you know, when you're a kid, you're supposed to just remember the field trip because you get away from school. And for us, we were going into the city, you know, Manhattan and everything like that. But ask me anything else about that trip, I'm not going to tell you. I don't know where we went. I forgot who was there, what we did. All I remember was listening to that Rough Riders anthem.
Bye-bye. On repeat.
On repeat. And you know, this is back in there where we had them CD players with the
hat. Yes, listen.
You know, and hoping it won't skip, because you know, we ain't had the anti-skip joints yet. You know what I'm saying?
Like, the bus hit a bump. You like,
yeah, it's like, oh, dang. You get what I'm saying? So I just remember every song on that album and just how it was just like mind-blowing. You know, it was mind-blowing to me. And he had his songs, I'm sorry, have been like the soundtrack to so many moments of my life.
You listen,
so many moments.
Slipping. My jam. Party
vote. Up. I can't get it off.
What do you want from a nigga? I'm mad he didn't say my name, but it's cool though.
Oh, listen.
It's cool though. Because if your name was in that song, you was kind of like a legit bitch.
Yeah, you was a little like, thotty, you know?
Yeah, you was kind of like legit, like, yo, I've been to block a few times. I'm about that life. And I'm just like, okay. I'll wait my turn. But no, dead ass, like, and then his voice was so distinct. It's like, yo, you can't fake that. Like,
no.
So no. Yeah, I don't know. I know I'm gonna miss him. I've been listening to his damn music from like boom. Who? Okay. And then Tidal put a playlist together.
Yeah, Essentials, yeah. What? Yeah, that's what I was listening to the other day. I was like, oh man.
The crazy part is, let me tell you how crazy it is. My baby's 16, and the fact that she knows DMX shows how he crossed generational, cultural, so many different barriers, and it's like, it's funny. Really ridiculous.
It's funny you say that. So I agree with you. He is timeless, right?
Yeah.
And I was trying to think of like which one of his albums is like considered the most timeless. And I really couldn't pin it down because he has so many songs from so many different, you know, generations or aspects in the rap game. So people forget he came out, well, his debut album came out in 98, right? But like he has transversed so many and permeated, right? So many different genres of rap and has lasted being himself, has lasted. So it's like, it's That's hard it. For me to really pin down like just one album of his that is considered to be just like, just because he has so many albums and hits that you can literally give to somebody right now who's never heard of him and it'll be like, oh snap, like who's this?
My thing is, the way he like slings his words together, you're like, dude, what in the hell? This nigga said, all my life I've been a devil's advocate. Niggas ain't even know the devil had a kid. Shut up.
Bars.
Niggas ain't even rapping like that no more.
Bars. He is the perfect kind of culmination of, I don't want to say dramatic, but more so very,
it's pure entertainment.
Yeah, yeah, like talent. Vivid and vibrant personality and timbre of voice mixed with lyricism too. So he wasn't like just giving you like just whack bars and just being, you know, just a unique voice. He was being a unique voice, like sonically, but also giving you bars too to be like, whoa, like.
And he's making this... you like, what this nigga say? Like, right. What? Like that shit is, and listen, and you know me, I ain't even with that kind of rap, right? Like I'm Beyonce all day, but if I look at some DMX, just like for real, like you can't tell me he does not speak to, especially when you're from that certain background that life. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm so far from street, but because I grew up in Washington D.C., like I know specifically. I'm like, yeah,
but I got you. Okay. Thank you for saying that, but it's true, right? So you know me, I'm far from street too, but I grew up in around that surrounding, so I know what I see. I know, like he was speaking to what we saw. You get what I'm saying?
That's it.
That's what he's speaking to, and we can definitely identify because although we weren't completely immersed and participating in those activities, that doesn't mean we don't have family members, friends, or close loved ones who weren't immersed in that lifestyle. You get what I mean? You get what I mean? Yeah, for you significant others, you know, you need to kick the habit, but we won't go there.
I'm kicking it, okay?
Like, you're working on it. You're working on it.
Yeah, it's like a soccer ball. Like I'm But no, like that to me, and then like I said, with the talent of painting the picture, because you know me, like me and you like the same music. We want you to paint a picture for us. Miss me with the hotlines, miss me with, like I don't care about the beat. What are you saying? And like, can it resonate with me? And that to me, like I said, it's just, he's going to be missed. I know for me, like he's going
to
be missed.
No, man, listen, like I said, when I was listening to the Essentials playlist, right, on Tidal, every song just brought back vivid memories of a particular time in the past or childhood. That's what I'm saying. Like his songs were literally so many soundtracks. And I know you're probably the same way as me. Like, when you listen to particular albums or an artist, it takes you back
to that time and that moment.
You know, and it doesn't even have to be specific to when that album came out per se, but more so to when you listened to it or when it was speaking to you. You feel
there
me?
You go.
So his music just automatically gives me that sense of nostalgia coming up, you know, in Jersey, New York, and wilding out, you know. And also, he had party anthems too. Party anthems. He was crunk before there was crunk. You feel me? Like, he was getting live before that was even a thing, before it came down south.
Let me tell you something. When you bring up the Rough Riders anthem, there was a school in DC, like Theodore Roosevelt, and their mascot was the Rough Riders.
Wow.
And you would be at the game, and they always came out to that song. And you knew, like, they had to get security and everything, because shit would get tore the fuck up.
Yeah.
Once that song, like, once it hit, the crowd's going buh. Fucking nanas. And I'd be like, excuse me. Like, I mean, I'm sitting here trying to be cute, but I like seeing it from the outside. But all them niggas going wild, I'm not getting in that, but I like to see it.
That's what our we wanted to come out to it, but the varsity basketball team got dibs, I guess, whatever. But they came out to Rough Riders. I was just like, oh, it's so hard. And I would, you know, so I was on a freshman team back then in Jersey. So, you know, we play first, of course, or whatever. I stick around just for the anthem because it gets, like you said,
it gets hype, turned. Like, man. I said, like, security's getting called. All that stuff. It's bananas. So I'm like, it touched so many aspects of your life. And even with his movies, like, I don't care what anybody say, Belly is still the hottest intro to any movie I've ever seen in my entire life. And that's just what it boils down to.
But Belly still holds up to this day as a movie in general. Like, as a movie in general, Belly still holds up. Like,
absolutely.
That's what most people don't think. You could watch Belly right now and still be engrossed in it. And it still applies to life today and what's going on and certain pitfalls that people have to overcome. So, like, Belly still holds up to this day.
He had a shy scene, bye-bye.
Oh, I remember that. Wow.
And every female know what I'm talking about. He was out there. Listen, I ain't gonna go there because I know you don't want to go there. But I'm gonna call my homegirl and put it up on YouTube and hit rewind plus rewind and pause it.
And pause it so you can see what you need to see. Wow, I'm sick of you.
Listen. You know what, DMX, sir? I value you.
Wow.
I will miss you.
And yeah. Definitely. And I love also how he's being celebrated in social media. And what I mean by celebrated, I love people are sharing stories of personal, basically, encounters, and also how his music have been pivotal in helping, you know, people get over some type of struggle or anything like that. It just shows you what he was really about. And I love that celebration. Like, I love people posting pictures and all of that, but to hear stories about, you know, oh, hey, I was going through this and listening to his music really helped me, you know, get through this. Or, hey, I met him once and he told me these words and it kind of stuck with me. And that's what I love to hear, because regardless of what he did musically, he also made sure that he had a positive and meaningful impact with the people. Oftentimes you see artists who are just all about the entertainment aspect and they do great things, but when you hear about the interactions that they have with people, it doesn't measure up. And that's what I love about DMX. He was truly for the people. Like, he was truly amongst and liked to be around people. That was his thing. Yeah. And it was just awesome how his interactions will basically transcend his life.
But you know, it's funny and I say funny in like the most non-funny way, but even Swiss Beatz did an interview about that and how generous he was and how kind he was. And so many people speak the same thing. And I'm like, those who go through the most pain are usually the most generous people you will ever meet, because they know what it feels like to not have someone.
Right.
So I'm like, and I hate the fact that he had to go and have this kind of horrible childhood and horrible life and have these bad experiences, but I know for a fact that people do those things because they have a testimony to help other people.
Yes. Yes. And he was never hesitant in sharing that testimony and lending out a helping hand in any way he could. So, you know, shout out, condolences to DMX. Definitely missed. Legend. One of my favorite rappers, just period, man. We lost another one, man.
I just changed that
crying. Right. So Tristan sent me a video about an altercation that happened in Arizona, a place where DMX used to live. So basically, there was this couple in Arizona, husband and wife. The wife owned a food truck business. Yeah. And if you know anything about a food truck business, as you start to get bigger, get more clients, you can't really effectively store all your food or product on that truck. You have to house it in a different location, in some type of refrigerated unit or deep freezer, depending on the size of your business. Right. Well, of course, this Black family, the business started to go, it started to move, and they needed more space. So they made a deal with this other white couple, and they had, I guess, kind of like a restaurant situation going on, and they paid them for a certain amount of time, kind of leasing the space for their refrigerator unit so they could store their food, store their product, use their kitchen and such so they could prepare for the food truck. Well, it came around the time to renew the lease, right? And they had to go ahead and meet with the gentleman, the owner of that establishment.
Yeah, so I mean, the wife met with him and the husband was getting a truck detailed or cleaned or something, the food truck cleaned.
Yeah, so the wife was meeting with the gentleman. The husband was getting the truck service. So while meeting with the guy, the wife kind of felt off, right? The vibes were off. He was acting weird. He even brought out a shirt that said "All Lives Matter."
Yeah. And
started cursing
at her.
And he
kind of berating her about her beliefs and being Black and all these other things. So she immediately felt uncomfortable and called her husband. And to me, when she said that, I was like, Tristan, this is what you need to get better at. Because I'm the type of woman, I'm like, I ain't calling nobody. Less motherfucking knuck if you buck, right? So right. I know as a person, I need to get better at that. But that was an epiphany for me.
For you. Okay, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's
every
awesome.
Story has, you know, teachable moments.
There you go. And, you know, every moment is not for everyone. But that moment was for you. That moment.
Yes, I need to be like, Tristan, if you got a man, if you can't handle it, ain't nothing wrong with calling your man. Right. But in my brain, I'm like, I'm Wonder Woman. What can't I handle? My super
and it's not even
pose.
You. And it's not even you can't handle it. Maybe he may be better equipped to handle it. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that really could
this
be.
Is where my maturity is kicking in.
I see.
I know. I'm so proud.
So
go ahead.
She called her husband, and her husband did the right thing. And he said he sped there. And she didn't even say anything too alarming. Like, she was just like, I feel uncomfortable. He's not acting right. And he said, Beth, stop what he was doing. Got there within 5 minutes or so. So they get there, start to have a conversation about what's going on. And the husband said, yeah, he was weird. He wasn't even giving him eye contact. And in the video, in the midst of the conversation, dude is staring off and all of a sudden goes for his shirt to pull what is a gun, a weapon. The husband jumps right on him, stops him, puts him in a hold and tells the wife to call the cops. Wow. Well, in the midst of that, what I find very interesting and significant for me is that she was hesitant in calling the police.
Yeah.
Reason being is she understands that her husband is a Black man.
And the other person is a white man.
White man, right? Her husband is a Black man. The man that's being restrained is a white man. And
with
he fits
a weapon.
Yes. And he fits the stereotypical looks. So she was hesitant and her husband had to tell her again, call the cops.
And this is as he held this man and restrained him for 11 minutes. 11 minutes! It's a long ass time when you gotta restrain somebody.
It sure is, because adrenaline's pumping.
Bye-bye.
Things are happening.
Listen.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact is, as a African American woman, you are scared to call the police. The people who say protect and serve, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, if off site they walk in this room, they're automatically gonna target your husband who did absolutely nothing wrong just off the color of his skin. That shit is, and I don't blame her. Like, that's some scary ass shit.
No, that's the life of being Black. You mm-hmm. have to second guess who you're calling for help and if they're mm-hmm. going to help you. As a matter of fact, she also took it to another level. She had the door closed, right? Because they were in an area. And when the police came, she stopped them and said, listen, and gave them a full description of who her husband was. What's the situation up? Just to make sure, and she's reiterate, don't kill my husband.
Right.
This is my husband. This is
don't
what's going
kill him.
On.
He did nothing wrong. We called the police. We're
exactly.
the one in danger. Do not kill my husband
so,
when you walk in this room.
She didn't even have faith in the protocols that they have set up, right? Because of
who
course
does?
You know how it goes. You call the 911, they deliver the message, et cetera, et cetera. She didn't even know. She said, no. You get here. Hey, you can't come in yet. This is what's going on.
He said, I'm intervening every step of the way because guess what? I don't give a fuck what happens. Me and my husband are going home.
Exactly. Period. We're going to live today. So part of the video, they come in, they pull their tasers out. They try to help the man. They
They had guns as well, locked and loaded.
Yeah, they pulled the guns and they pulled the taser out. They tell the black man to kind of step aside for a little bit so they don't tase him. They tase the white man, got the gun, you know, defuse the situation. All is well. They're alive. No one was killed. But it's not over because apparently, and we have to understand, the laws are set up differently in every state. So in Arizona, they have very lax gun laws. Like you can open carry literally everywhere in Arizona. Yeah. Like, and it's okay. So per the video, the wife was saying that he may not even get jail time.
He got out the next morning.
Yeah, he may not. He got out at 4:38, she said, the next morning. And he may not get any significant jail time because right. no and to harm. Me,
that's ridiculous because at the end of the day, you still motherfucking assaulted me. You still branded a weapon in an attempt to assault me. Like, I don't give a fuck. In every state, that's fucking illegal. So you're telling me I have to physically be wounded and harmed for y'all to do y'all fucking job? But let it be a black man with some Skittles or a fucking mixtape, and y'all ready to take that nigga down.
Yeah. Yeah, it was hard for me to watch because after they disarmed the man and arrested him, you saw the dude break down. Like, I could imagine the adrenaline just coming down, and he just sat there, and it looked like he was crying. I couldn't tell the video, but it looked like that dude was crying, like, breaking down, and I can understand. Like, you're literally fighting for you and your wife's life.
Literally, on top of that. And the sad part is, not only are you fighting the suspect, you also got to fight the police. Mm-hmm. It's not just a one, like, it's like everyone in this whole situation is against you, but your wife. And that to me is so sad because it's like, we have such a fucked up system that these type of things shouldn't even be, like, I should not hesitate to call the police. Why? Why am I hesitating to call the police? Because at the end of the day, the police has such a fucked up stereotype of who we are as people.
Right.
I'm sorry. This cat in the back is ruining my
Listen, hey, life. Janet.
Janet's like, she's making a cameo. She's here. She said, I don't know what she's looking for.
I'm all about this podcast right now, guys.
Right.
So,
everyone, for those, that's Janet.
For those Jackson, who are listening. Nasty. For those who are listening and wondering, check out our YouTube page, Hans and Tristan Podcast. You can see our newest member, Janet. Over there, you know, making an appearance. I like it. It adds some comedy, some levity to the situation. So
yeah, but you ain't got to think of everything she knocked off when you got
there. Oh, well, yeah. She about to knock everything
down. Yeah, because the thing is, I wouldn't hold her. So she's like, fuck it. You're not going to hold me. So now I'm going to act out. Here is her acting out at this moment.
There you go. What, throw that tantrum, Janet. Yeah. Throw that tantrum.
But to go back to the story, again, it still ain't over. Because now the wife of the guy who attempted to assault him was like, you need to get your shit out of our storage now. You need to move your stuff out of the refrigerator absolutely right now. And they had no place. They lost so much inventory just because of that situation. And like the wife said, she felt like she's been constantly being punished when she did nothing wrong.
Yeah, no, that's so true. And it wasn't even for any fault of, like you said, of their own. They just ran up against some racist white people. And unfortunately, there's not a background check for racism that we can do before we get in the business for anybody. We just hope that they're, you know, upstanding human beings and business is business. I pay you to store. You hold up your end and allow me to store. You get what I'm saying? Simple as that, a business transaction. But unfortunately, these folks had a different set of belief systems. And I guess they felt enraged by what was going on in the community and in the United States at this time, decided to take it out on this black couple and thought that he was going to brandish his gun and nothing was going to happen. Here's my teachable moment from that situation. I applaud him for going for a restraint hold. That would have been my first thing.
Listen, let me tell you something. I don't want to say nothing that can be used against me.
Yeah, yeah, don't do that. But
understand. Yeah. I swear, because here's the thing. Once you come for me, I'm gonna feel like you're always ready to come for me. And I'm gonna put it into that shit. Cause I won't have a sleepless nights because of a motherfucker out here. period.
No, I feel you. And that's why I think, like, I do appreciate how he did handle it, right? Because he didn't have a choice.
Because if he did anything, his ass would be in jail. And he wouldn't have got released the next day.
He did have a choice, and he chose the right one, is what I'm saying. Right. I just don't know for me, because I know how I am when I'm around loved ones. So if that had been my wife,
oh yeah, you're like super protective.
And
yeah.
You brandish your gun on it, like that's gonna be the last time you do that. Like something's breaking. That's all I'm gonna say right there. Something's breaking. So for him to go to have the mindset to just restrain, I give him so much credit for being, you know, in that moment and controlling his anger and not taking it forward, because I would have done more than restraint. That's just me, you know, right. But I do.
That goes back into, and I just thought about something you said so many months ago in regards to video footage, because if there was not video footage, it would legit be their word against his.
Exactly.
And that can be such a fucked up situation to be in when you now have to defend yourself, when you know, I'm like, I didn't do shit wrong.
Right.
And now you have to defend yourself. So I'm happy it was video footage of that situation.
That's facts.
And I just pray that they are able to get back on their feet, because it's like, yeah, I'm being punished for being Black. Like, this is what it all boils down to. I'm being punished for being Black. And the wife's a cutie. The wife is such a cutie.
She is. I do hope that they do get back on their feet. With this kind of going viral, I do hope that, you know, GoFundMe is set up, people start donating and helping them, because she said that was her dream and her husband helped her fund that dream. Like, as a good husband, he was like, this is what you want to do. We're going to make this happen.
My good husband coming one day. Yes. We're going to speak that into existence.
There you go. You're going to have somebody to call when it happens.
I'm going to have somebody help me get my RV, baby.
There you go. So, you know, it's sad to see that she feels like she's had to give up on her dream because of just stupidity. Yeah, just moronic behavior by these white people. So I do hope, though, that by them going viral, some people reach out and kind of help them get back, or even Black people in the community who weren't aware, you get what I'm saying, that they needed somewhere to store. Because honestly, right, people don't realize that being connected and networking, that's one of the safeguards of networking within your community as well. It kind of
but they
safeguards.
Don't want us to do that. Remember, we did that many years ago, decades ago, when we just had our own little community, and they burnt that bitch down to the ground.
Yeah.
So they don't want us to do that. It's like, we can't go off. Y'all tell us go back to where we came from. Nigga, we trying to have our own shit. Y'all tear that down. We try to coexist with y'all. Y'all fuck it up. Like, God damn.
You can't win.
Like, y'all can't win for losing. You're like, shit, what the fuck do y'all want? Y'all are just miserable, and y'all want everyone else to be miserable.
Well, you know, they wanna win in every arena.
Right, y'all give us scraps and y'all mad because we done made a whole soul food dinner with the shit. God damn, like, y'all mad. We are magical. Get over it.
But yeah, no, I definitely hope that they get back on it, because I just don't want to see anybody's dreams get crushed. I hope that she doesn't give up, though. They save up, they go at it again, because if it's just something you really want to do, I say you go out there and do
Absolutely.
It. Don't let these naysayers, don't let this bad experience stop you from making it happen. And I do hope, though, that the DA does bring him up on some more significant charges.
First of all, that's premeditated assault, goddammit. At the very fucking least, that's assault. I don't care what anybody says, okay? So you can't tell me that should no charges be filed. Like, really? And how the fuck we get out the next goddamn morning? Like, so you're telling me he's not a threat and he shouldn't be held until his motherfucker, like...
Yeah, charges, I think, are going to be filed. It's just the level of degree to the charges.
Right.
And like we said before, given the state that they're in, and county, actually, too, there could be heavy leniency on certain charges involving firearms. But I'm glad, like you said, that video was there, because had it been a no video kind of situation, I don't think the outcome would have been nearly as close to where it's at right now.
I be wondering what goes on in these white men's minds. Like, white men are literally white American men are literally the number one terrorist in the fucking world. So what goes on in their brain when you are in situations like this? Like, how entitled do you have to be to feel like you can do this to someone just because you don't fucking like them?
Oh, very much so, though. But that's what it is. It's the entitlement. You're born with it. You're breed to know and understand that you can pretty much do anything. The world is literally your oyster.
Literally.
You have every door and avenue open for you, and there are going to be people to advocate for you, and the system is set up for you. So they have no worries.
Listen.
No worries. It's them against the world. And the system is built for them. So
That video, when I sent it to you, it boiled my blood. I was just like,
yeah, no. Like I said, I was like, what? Man, listen. Once again, shout out to you, sir, for going for restraint.
My husband restrain him. Clip the cameras. It's thank finna get real up in this restraint. Motherfucker. Yeah, because Jesus.
Are you going after the wife?
Listen, I'm going air down to the fucking goldfish. It's a wrap. Like, don't play with me. Because like I said, my family ain't gonna lose sleep over some motherfucking person. That's something I don't believe in. But
all right, let me stop for you and incriminate yourself.
That's what anyway, I said. I digress.
Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Thank you for joining me, Tristan, and Janet. She's gone now. Well, thank you for joining the three of us here. As always, you can listen to the Hans and Tristan podcast wherever you get your podcast. So please subscribe, like, and share. Also, hit us up on our social media. We're on IG as the Hans and Tristan podcast. And we have a YouTube channel. So if you go into YouTube, search Hans and Tristan podcast, you'll see us, our beautiful faces. You'll see Janet from this episode. She'll be there. Yeah. So definitely check out our YouTube page. We appreciate all the love, guys. Take care. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.